Concerning news out of Haiti, a cholera outbreak there has left more than 250 people dead and more than 3,000 are sick. And the out of those 3,000, perhaps the five most worrying are the five people who are sick with cholera near Port-au-Prince. The disease is a bacterial infection and it can be fatal. It's often very quickly moving through the system. How does a country that's already shaky, depleted, trying to recover from a devastating earthquake, now deal with the outbreak of cholera? Joining us now from Boston is Dr. Joya Mukherjee. She's medical director of Partners in Health. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. First of all, I want to know, get an idea of how well Haiti is dealing with the cholera outbreak. It would seem that the infrastructure there, especially the medical infrastructure, is probably still damaged after the earthquake in January.
Yes. But I have to say that I think considering where Haiti is and has been since January 12th, not to mention the infrastructure being poor for a long time, I actually think this is being dealt with fairly well on a number of fronts.
Are the people of Haiti panicked? Are they concerned? Are the doctors?
Yes. I mean, I think people are very concerned. We're trying to get as many messages out as we can, but, you know, it's hard to do mass communication in a place where many people don't have radios, and, you know, there's concern when they see, you know, trucks coming in and tents being set up. I mean, so, yeah, people are concerned, but we do feel that, you know, it's possible to do mass messaging about this, especially when you have an army of community health workers, as we do, who are getting out to, you know, to villages and to communities.
Well, you know, let me ask you about just how communicable this disease is. I mean, clearly, last week when we started to report on the cholera outbreak, everyone was saying, let's hope it doesn't reach Port-au-Prince. It's right now isolated to rural regions, but if it reaches with the more than 1 million people living in tent cities outside the capital, it could be disastrous. Now we have reports that five people in the area around the capital actually have cholera. Is that the sign that it has now reached the capital?
Yeah, I mean, there's no way it wouldn't reach the capital. Haiti is a society where there's a lot of circular migration. You know, still so many people, you know, who really lost everything in Port-au-Prince, maybe going back and forth to the rural area to visit family. Or people who are living in the rural areas where we tend to serve, are bringing things like mangoes or whatever to market in Port-au-Prince because that's the only place to really make money. So people are moving about. I mean, that's sort of normal Haitian life, and that's probably even escalated because of the transient nature of the living conditions now. So when you have a waterborne diarrheal disease and very, very poor conditions of sanitation, there's no way it won't spread. I mean, so I think that the question is how rapidly, how severe it will be. We're fortunate that in many of the tent cities, there is adequate water, so that there's a clean, protected water supply. And sanitation, which is not being done wonderfully, is at least present. And so we may be able to protect it from spreading within the camps. But there's no way that we won't see cases in Port-au-Prince. I mean, there are people coming from these areas to sell things, to visit family, to whatever, and they're moving into the city. And, you know, they will have the illness.
Well, we had the health minister of Haiti saying that it wouldn't be difficult to prevent the spread of cholera to Port-au-Prince, and it could be prevented. You're saying that wasn't realistic.
No. I mean, we can prevent the spread, you know, the widespread. I think public health measures can be put in place. I think, you know, make sure there are sufficient water points, especially for people to have drinking water and even to do hand washing and things like that. Those public health measures can you know, happen. But, you know, there will be definitely people who are, you know, infected in the areas where the epidemic is happening now. They don't realize it right away because the incubation can be up to 5 days. They move to Port-au-Prince and, you know, they'll be sick. Now, the question is, will they be able to have access to sanitation, adequate sanitation, so they don't spread their illness to others? And I think that's where you can break the cycle. So we know there are cases already. So,
I mean, one thing that has been warned of by the Haitian Medical Association is that in the end, there's a possibility that they could end up with hundreds of thousands of people getting sick all at the same time. And cholera, a patient can deteriorate very rapidly.
Yes.
I mean, they can die from dehydration within a matter of hours, correct?
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, let's take that scenario. Should it spread into Port-au-Prince? Should you see those kind of numbers, thousands upon thousands getting sick at the same time? Although cholera is easily treatable, is Haiti able to treat that many people at once?
No. No. I don't think any poor country, and then add to that living with what Haiti has lived through.
So what do we do? Does this require an international response?
Well, there is an international response going on now, and I think it you know, and I mean, I have a lot of respect for the Haitian Minister of Health, and the Ministry of Health is working very closely with partners, and I think this is an incident where the international community is well coordinated and working well together. I mean, you see partnerships between emergency response people, water people, the government, health providers, et cetera, working together. So there is an international response. I think the question is how rapidly it can be stepped up and how good the prevention efforts will be.
Dr. Joya Mukherjee, Medical Director for the Partners in Health, talking about the outbreak of cholera in the nation of Haiti. Thank you so much, Doctor.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.